the newly crowned all-time leading trainer, Dale Romans.
Well, Chef Edward Lee,
I'm honored to be with Dan Issel.
I'm at the offices of Louisville Public Media with Stephen George.
Budding country music star, J.D. Shelburne.
Rocky Adkins is with us.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show, Louisville's longest-running and most interesting podcast. Join Rick Redding, your host, as he talks with some of the city's most interesting individuals. The city's leaders in politics, business, sports, and the arts join Rick in lively one-on-one interviews, taking on the topics that are making news in the Ville. Right now, Rick's ready to get the show rolling in the Louisville.am studio. Here's Rick.
Hi, welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show. I am Carolyn McLean, and I am joining Rick Redding on his podcast about the most interesting people in the Ville. And I'm joining Rick because it's a special edition of Rusty Satellite. It happens to be the 300th episode.
Man, you're doing great. I think I'll let you just take it from here.
I'm taking over.
You can do the next 300 shows. I'm kind of worn out over that.
No, you can't be worn out because all these people that you interviewed for today's show have said the most lovely things about you.
Oh, I know. This is, I just got back, this is Wednesday afternoon. I just got back from the mayor's office.
Okay.
And you can see a little video I put up with the help of Bill Brimer on YouTube. And had a great conversation with the mayor, and he said I knew the... He said, you probably know the community as well as anybody in Louisville.
That's an endorsement, my man.
There you go. So it has been, you know, every once in a while you hit a milestone, and you got to look back and say, wow, this is a lot of weeks in a row that I've been doing the same thing.
So you have been at the show how many years?
Well, it'll be six soon. Okay. It started in June of 2013.
Yeah.
I made a commitment back then to do the show, do a weekly show, and I've just never stopped.
I looked at the list of people that have been in the studio.
Yeah.
You have interviewed a lot of interesting people.
We're going to, and I'm looking forward to talking to you about that in the next segment of the show. It's going to be a lot of fun. We are going to have fun on this show. It's not going to be a whole lot of serious news, although my guests are involved in some serious stuff.
Okay. Well, then I'll try and provide the lightheartedness of the show. How does that sound?
That sounds good. Well, I love both my guests. In the second part of the show, you're going to hear from the mayor. Mm. And we talked about his Give a Day program, which is a very positive, happy thing. And it's very important. And it's unusual for Louisville to do something like this. But I also got in some questions about the budget cuts and some very serious issues coming up. And some conflicts in town and some things that are going to happen that people aren't going to like.
So did he say the nice thing about you before or after you stuck it to him with the questions?
He didn't mind the questions.
Good.
Of course, he was well prepared.
Yeah.
As when you do something like that with the mayor or people at a certain level, they do want to know what you're going to ask about before mm-hmm. you go in there.
Right. Well, that's smart.
But sometimes you save one in your back pocket.
A good reporter does.
Yeah. Say, I know you're not expecting this, but, you know, this whole five-year odyssey wouldn't have been possible without Passport Health Plan, who's been a sponsor from almost the very beginning. I really appreciate their assistance and what has happened with them in this show. They've stuck with it, and just like me, they've stuck with it. So thanks to them. Also to my friends at Heiser Health, who've got me back in shape. And my good buddies at the Eye Care Institute down in Butchertown, 502-589-1500 if you got any eye care issues or if you want to get LASIK like I did.
Yeah, I remember when you had it.
Change your life.
Yeah.
It's all great. So that's what we're going to be doing here, Carolyn.
Is the mayor up to bat first?
No, I don't think I mentioned. Our first guest is Adam Edlin.
Oh, okay.
Who is, you know, I hope, going to be the next governor of Kentucky. His running mate, as I call him, Gil Holland's running mate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, because Gil is also a favorite of the show and helped me get Adam on for this special episode of
nice.
Rusty Satellite Show.
Nice.
Big deal. You know, big deal being on the 300 show. You know how many guests there have been on the show?
You went real politico, though.
Oh, yeah.
It was like double-double.
Yeah, well, I thought it was a big deal. And these are people I'm interested in and I wanted to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
They are they bring the total guest on the show to 570.
Whoa.
over 300 shows. So that's a lot of different people on the show. I made a little spreadsheet. I'm trying to figure out a way to publish that. It'd be kind of neat for people to see. Or you can just go on the RustySatelliteShow.com and go back one by one over all.
Did you ever, I'm just curious, like have someone on that you already, before they walked in the door, you didn't like them? You know what I mean? Like you're like, you don't pick the people always with your political views or that you, I mean, have you ever picked someone on
I've had Republicans on, and people that I knew philosophically I disagreed with, but in most of the cases, in a civil society, you know, we can discuss things and disagree on topics and
shake hands at the end of the interview. Yeah.
So certainly I've done that with, I remember Angela Lee came on here because I wanted to ask her how any female in the world could ever vote for Trump. that was my question for her. And I had Phil Moffitt, who's a Republican, who's in the Bevin camp, I think. And so I've had a few.
Okay.
State Majority Leader Dan Syme, because I agreed with him on
Uber or something.
Marijuana.
Okay.
So...
Yeah.
So anyway, but there are some people I really don't want to entertain on the show. So anyway, that's it's not a balanced. It's not fair, or it's not balanced. Maybe it's fair, but not balanced.
Okay.
All right. Okay, Carolyn. Well, we'll come back here. I want to let our listeners listen to Adam Edlin. He is very. He says all the right things. He's on the right position, right side of all the issues. I really like him. I wish more people in Kentucky would.
Maybe you should join the campaign trail.
Yeah, he's working hard.
If you're liking him that much.
He's really out there. He's working hard on the campaign, and the primary is just over a month away.
Gulp. That's really close.
All right, here it is, and Caroline, I will be back in a short time.
I admit, I used to think people addicted to painkillers just needed to toughen up. Until it happened to my daughter. She really needed help. Thanks to Passport, we got it for her. Our doctor and her Passport case manager made sure she got the services and treatment she needed. Together, we got through it.
Find out how you can get Passport at passporthealthplan.com/together. Passport Health Plan. We're in this together.
And today, the Rusty Satellite Show is celebrating its 300th episode with, I guess, the next governor of Kentucky. That's the way you want to be introduced, right?
We hope. That's right. And it's great to be with you.
Adam Edlin, a lot of people, you've been getting around, you've been doing a lot of campaigning, et cetera, but I'm sure there's still people listening to this that don't know who you are. Tell us a little bit about your background, where you come from.
Well, I'm Adam Edlin. I'm the former state auditor. I'm a businessman in Lexington. I focus primarily on renewable energy projects, and I'd love to talk about that at some point. But, I'm a guy who is seeing Kentucky move in the wrong direction. In a time and a place where we need to be embracing those things that support a modern economy, we're doing just the opposite. And so I call on my background. You know, I'm a farmer's kid from Meade County, Kentucky. Okay. My dad still farms. My mother had me at 16. So I know a little bit about the need for potential to matter more than position. And I think that's really what we bring to the table, along with my running mate, Gil Holland, who is certainly well-known to your audience.
All right, a favorite of the Rusty Satellite Show.
He's a terrific guy and will be an outstanding lieutenant governor. So we really are running to build a modern Kentucky where people can realize their version of the American dream in the part of Kentucky they call home.
Okay, well, tell me about campaigning and what kind of events you do and how do you get the word out today versus 20 years ago?
Well, politics has changed, and so we're doing about better than 2,000 miles a week on the road, and we're certainly keeping the most public schedule of any of the people running for governor. We're doing multiple town halls a week. Where I get up and we call them Ask Adams, and I speak for 15 or 20 minutes, and then I answer questions until there aren't any left. And we just yesterday in the west end of Louisville, we had a criminal justice forum. Where it was really well attended. But politics has changed. It's not so much about just raising the same old money from the same old special interest and then putting up on TV. It's about engaging the folks. So at a town hall in Henderson, we may have 50 or 60 people, but we'll have between 2,500 and 3,500 people watch these on Facebook Live. So we stream all of our town halls on our Facebook page, and it's just about engaging the public.
Well, I guess we should have had this Rusty Satellite interview on Facebook Live, but But anyway, people
next
listen
time.
To it every week. Yeah, we'll get you on again after the primary, I guess. So the primary's in May.
Yep, you're up just against, a couple of months away.
And Rocky Adkins, Andy Beshear, how are you distancing yourself from them before we get to the Republican side?
Well, at the end of the day, I'm the only candidate for governor who has put a coal miner back to work, who can go toe-to-toe with Matt Bevin on job creation, and I'm the only candidate that has a record of fighting corruption. You know, a state auditor, I filled up the prisons with crooked politicians and was very aggressive at rooting out inefficiency and corruption. And I think that hit that record combined with a clear vision of what a modern economy looks like in Kentucky make me the best candidate to beat Matt Bevin in the fall.
Okay. Well, I want to say that, but I want to let's go right into Bevin. I listened to the news this morning, and the big news about the legislature was Bevin was so happy that he had signed into law four abortion bills, which you probably wouldn't have signed those bills.
I wouldn't have, and I wouldn't have, and I wouldn't have wanted the legislature to waste its time on bills that are going to be extraordinarily costly. You know, I don't like the idea of paying constitutional lawyers and losing battles when we're in a time and a place when we're trying to figure out how to keep from laying off school teachers. But we have Frankfurt is lockstep with Governor Bevin's very narrow political right-wing ideology that is extreme. And as a result of pursuing his agenda, the agenda of regular Kentuckians isn't getting pursued. It's not, you know, we're higher education is no more affordable. We're still not talking about how to integrate technology into the classroom or shrink class size. We're not talking about building a modern economy. And so, you know, the people of Kentucky are going to have a choice to make this fall. Do we want to continue rushing headlong in the wrong direction, the opposite direction of history? Or do we want to get with it and build a modern Kentucky where people can realize their version of the American dream?
Okay. Great answer. I think the issue of Kentucky's financial future is of concern. And I've railed on this show about, you know, Bevin's crazy opposition to things that are passing us by in terms of new revenue, gambling and marijuana, for one.
No doubt.
And I know you may be for it, but how could you realistically, I mean, is there a path to realistically passing anything on either of those issues?
I think there is. And one of the things that I've done, and what a takeaway from every single town hall we have, and we've done a few dozen now, is that people are seeing their school band or art program eliminated. People are aware that they're driving on roads that 10 years ago were among the best in the country that are now in shoddy condition at best. People are seeing our inability to keep the pension promise to school teachers. And they're looking around and they're saying, you know, we can't underfund schools. We can't underfund the social safety net. We need to be building the infrastructure of the 21st century, and they know it's not happening. I think, Rick, the opportunity is you have to have a governor who leads from the front and says, you know, if you're going to make an investment, this is precisely where it's going to go. This is the purpose. Because I think the days of people, you know, paying more taxes or driving new revenue into the black hole of Calcutta that is the Frankfurt budget process is over. I think if we're going to be successful, you've got to have a governor who leads from the front and who says, if we're going to make additional investments, this is precisely where it's going to go. And I think the people of Kentucky are willing to do that, but they're also, but we also don't have that kind of leadership in Frankfurt right now.
Right. I hate to bring up a bad thing, but I remember the whole 2007 election when Beshear said his sheer leadership was going to get gaming passed. And that's
it still hasn't happened. It's been a lot of years. And, you know, the thing is we're incredibly desperate now. I mean, other states are making investments in their people that are positioning them well in the modern economy. We are not making those investments. And so we've got a choice to make. Is Kentucky going to be its best version of itself? Or are we going to pursue the Mississippi path where we just produce sick, unhealthy, and poor people? We got to do better than that.
Sure. I want to zero in on the marijuana issue just briefly because it seemed like it sort of came close to maybe getting medical marijuana near the goal line th- this time, but we're so far behind.
We are so far behind, and this is a no-brainer. I mean, for a couple of reasons. One, you can't meaningfully claim that you're fighting a war on addiction unless you stop the addiction factory. And to do that, you have to offer medical marijuana as an alternative to these heroin-based opiates. And we've lost a generation to addiction in Kentucky, and it's absolutely crazy that we're not offering the critically and chronically ill an alternative to opioids. And medical marijuana is right there, and I think it's a no-brainer.
Okay. Well, obviously, I agree with you there. Let me ask you a little bit about the strategy for the, first for the primary, and then because in Louisville, we get so focused on Louisville and understand that a lot of times if feel like Frankfurt's beating up on Louisville because
it has been.
Yeah, it has been.
Yeah, there is a war on Louisville and Frankfurt. There's no doubt about it. And I'll end it as governor, and I'll launch one for Louisville. Because if Kentucky – listen, man, if Kentucky is going to be what it ought to be, we need Louisville to be to North Carolina what Charlotte is. We need Louisville to be able to expand and grow. And the way you do that is you let more decision-making affecting the future of Louisville be made in Louisville rather than in Frankfurt.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm sure you're aware of the big crisis we have over pensions here in Louisville, and certainly we'll talk to the mayor about that a little bit this week. But, I think all governments are faced with similar issues. We're going to have to either figure out a way to get new revenue.
That's right.
Raise the taxes or cut back services.
Well, and it's why I'm such a big believer in getting power out of Frankfurt into communities. And a great way we can do that is the local option sales tax, which has been adopted by some of the most conservative cities in the United States, is a way of building themselves up. I mean, look at what Oklahoma City's done. 20 years ago, when they adopted the local option sales tax, nobody wanted to live in Oklahoma City. Now it's probably the hottest or among the hottest medium-sized cities in America, and that's because they had the foresight to control more of their destiny at the city level in the city. And we really ought to do this in Kentucky, and because we know that the decisions made in Louisville are better for directing the future of this city than,
sure,
than having that decision-making domiciled in Frankfurt.
Very good. Let me ask you, as we sort of wind up here, I've seen your television commercial, and it's all very positive about your background and all positive stuff about you. Is this election going to stay that way?
Well, I think there are going to be clear divides demonstrated between the candidates, because there are clear divides. I mean, listen, we are in a state, in a time and place in our state where people need to take clear stands on issues. And I think that's going to be demonstrated. And we all have backgrounds and experiences that I think are relevant and that are going to need to be contrasted with each other. And my hope is the campaign stays positive. But what we know we need is a tough primary to vet our candidate, because somebody unvetted, somebody who can't take a punch in the primary, isn't tough enough to beat Matt Bevin. And I think that's got to be a key priority. Listen, anybody wants to take a swing at me, they're more than welcome at it. They need to deal with the counterpunch. But we're going to have to produce a nominee who does more than whine, or who feels more than entitled to this. We're going to have a nominee who not only runs on the issues that inspire the future in a campaign that is powered by people, we're going to have a candidate who is tough enough to go right at Matt Bevin. Because make no mistake, this guy is he lies with a fluency I've never seen in Kentucky politics. His ability to separate himself from a position that he held just hours before is remarkable, and he likes combat. And we're going to have a candidate who's tough enough to stand up to him. And the best way you demonstrate how tough you are for the general election is to be tough in the primary.
All right. So April 1st today.
April 1st.
You got a big month ahead.
I do.
You looking forward to it?
I am. I love this. I draw energy from it. Rick, I'm delighted to be here with you. This is where I get energy in the campaign, talking to people who care a lot about the future of the state and talking about stuff that matters. Animates me, and it's going to be what fuels me to a victory in May and then another in November.
All right. Well, good luck. We'll have you back on after the primary.
That's great.
How about that?
Thanks.
Heiser Health, your complete health source for preventative medicine and optimum health. Visit the experts of medical doctors and nurse practitioners so they can evaluate your overall health and your health as you age. Heiser Health uses the primary preventative technique of nutrition with real food and effective exercise. If you qualify, you may need hormone replacement to optimize your health. Call the experts at Heiser Health, 502-882-4252.
Hi, folks. Welcome back. I'm Carolyn McLean, joining my old pal here, Rick Redding, on the 300th episode of his podcast, The Rusty Satellite Show.
So nice of you to come in and amuse me here. You know, one of the I've been reminiscing a lot, and I remember one of the first most intimidating things I ever did was sit in a room like this by myself and talking. You know, it's really
monologuing.
It's tough.
By yourself, and as you started.
Most weeks I don't have someone as lovely as you or anyone at all in here with me as I talk about issues of the city and all that, which we're skipping this week.
Well, a little. To your point, you kept the momentum going on a show that you, you know, had this idea for, right, 6 years ago, and here you are still, and I think it's fantastic. Well, you're one of the only ones I know that have kept with the podcast. You were doing podcasts before podcasts were trendy and popular.
That's right. Doing cable before cable was cool, Ted Turner, right?
Mm-hmm.
that's it. But fortunately, there's a lot more podcasts now, and it's a popular thing, and hopefully it'll continue to get popular. I'll continue to do another 300 or so shows.
I hope so too. We'd miss you.
And we'll someday get back on our Eat Drink Talk show, because
I do miss Eat Drink Talk. I will say
that's another side project that I've done while I've been doing this. So it's something we got to get back to.
Well, I will say, when we did Eat Drink Talk, it lit a fire under me, and I was like, I'm gonna eat everywhere I've never eaten. And now I've gone through, you know, several restaurants.
Yeah.
And now I need to start on the new ones. You know what I mean? There's so many new ones since.
Well, I think
I tore through the city.
I sent you a note. I went to Grasa Grama.
And so I have not gone there yet. Can you believe that?
It's pretty awesome. And, you know, it's just like, you know, I think of that like everywhere I go. I could ask for Kevin Grangier when I was there, and he wasn't there. But, you know, he was on, you know, there's somebody on the show. Almost everywhere I go, I run into somebody who's on this list of 570 people.
Right, right.
So,
on those people, was somebody sitting in this chair that I'm in that was the most memorable guest you've ever had in the studio?
Well, sitting in that chair, you know, strikes me as a challenge. I've had a lot of people there, but the most interesting interviews I think I've had have been in different places.
You mean when you're out of the studio location?
I would say I've probably been in more buildings than anybody in town. I go to a lot of places. I always pull back and tell you, you know, everybody asks me who's the most interesting guest, and it's always because it was such fun, and it was a guy that I idolize as a musician, and it took place at Headliners before a show, the amazing Paul Thorne.
Ah, so you were already a fan of Paul's,
and you did
an interview before he took the stage.
I mean, the Rusty Satellite theme music is Paul Thorne music. So, and he's so funny. I mean, it wasn't just that I got the interview; it was just that he was so funny, and my girlfriend Paula was with me, and he was giving me advice on how I could make sure I keep her. And
oh my God,
you know, it was all.
And this was on the air, or this is like the interview before the interview?
It was on the air.
Okay.
I gave him.
Was he drunk?
No.
Okay.
No, he's just a funny guy.
Okay.
We'll have to get you to go to. He's coming in June, I think, to the Brown Theater. We're gonna have to get you.
Nice.
Get you and Locke to come and see the Paul Thorne.
If we could pull his ass out of the house.
Yeah.
He's a recluse.
That's right.
People don't know that about him. But yes, he is.
Yeah, so Paul is, I always go back to you know, Paul being the most fun and interesting interview. But there's been a lot of them. I've been to a lot of different, you know, locations around town that you know, amaze me. And I always think back, like, we're seeing the development of Whiskey Row now and all that. And I remember Val Jones, the developer, took me up and through the stuff that's all now open.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to see it before it really opened. There's some condos on the second floor there. And I just saw they're opening that that beer hall downstairs just this week. And so it's pretty cool to be in on the inside of some of that stuff.
Were there any guests that, you know, you had like some kind of aha moment while they were talking?
Aha moment. You would stump me with one. We didn't practice the questions in advance.
That makes for better answers.
That's right. I don't know, but I do always learn things, and that's one thing. You know, Paula, who listens to every show, she tells people, well, I always learn something because, you know, I don't have people that I know what everything they're going to say.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of moments where I go, oh, really? I didn't know that. You know, yeah. And then I get excited and I sort of want to really.
Get in. What about like a WTF moment? That something that came out of someone's mouth and you were like, what the
Well, speaking of that word, I remember the first time, and he's been on a couple of times since, but the first time I talked to Andy Bleeden.
Mm-hmm. He's funny.
I love really Andy. Funny. And I didn't know that it was coming, but he told a story that had that word in it. He said, that's okay, isn't it?
To which you replied, yes, it's a podcast.
Sure it is.
FCC doesn't regulate
FCC
us.
FCC is not listening.
Andy's awesome. The mayor of Butchertown.
That's right. That was cool. And I think one of the great things about getting to do this show is it's the variety of people and the variety of places that are featured. I was just talking, you know, with the mayor's office, we were talking about the West End some. And, you know, I've done several stories down there in the West End. People like Christopher Tuex have been on. But Butchertown, you know, we did a whole show about Butchertown with Andy and your friend Linda.
Mm-hmm.
And really every part of the city, we've done a show. I did a show once, though. The question is, you say you've done 300 consecutive weeks. You don't ever take a vacation, right? That's the question.
Mm-hmm.
Well, once I was on vacation in Colorado, but the miracles of technology, I recorded the show in Aspen. I was out there with John Gilderblum, the eccentric professor at the University of Louisville, and I was able to record a show out there with him and send it back. And
that was that.
The streak continued.
Was that back when, like, Dan Vonderhyde was all helping out, and he would post the shows for you?
Well, he still does.
Okay.
And, you know, Dan's the big story here, because I never would have done the show if Dan hadn't called me one day and said, I'm organizing the Louisville.am network. I need shows. You'd be a great host.
So he reached out to you because he knew you would provide good content.
Well, maybe he just heard of me. You know, I don't know. But, you know,
Dan's good people.
Yeah, he's great. And, you know, who knew? Just a couple of months ago, I bought the business from him.
So that's new news right there, buddy.
Yeah. So, and now it's my Louisville.am studio, and we have some great shows here. I don't know if you heard the Lou Review. It's a new show. It's really good.
Is it good?
They had Bill Lamb the other night. It was really interesting. And of course, the Crunch Zone is here.
Yeah.
His house.
Oh, hence all the beer sitting next to me. I walked in, I was like, Rick, I haven't seen you in a while, but like the garbage can is full of Coors Light.
I'm going to have to post some new rules for those guys.
Well, I'm just glad to hear you haven't taken up Coors Light.
I didn't say that I don't like Coors Light. I would have one, but I usually don't drink beer during the show.
Or during the day.
Yeah.
Unless you're at a ball game, tailgating.
Well, I tell you, you know, you ask about the memorable and fun shows. One of the most fun shows was the first time I met Paul Toole.
Okay.
And, you know,
with the Ballatin.
With the Ballatin guy.
And yeah, bourbon.
He treated me down at Sidebar to a Ballatin concoction milkshake thingy that.
Was it good?
It was just outstanding. I just couldn't do much with the interview. I was just focused on the.
That kind of sounds like the time we were at Collaboration. The Bardstown Bourbon Company drinking the Collaboration. We were like, oh, God, can we even do the second part of the show?
I don't know. That was a wild thing, too. And, you know, I went back after we did that and talked to David Mandel. So there have been, like, you know, and I try to tell people about the variety of people on the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always entrepreneurs and businessmen. They may be in any industry, but I've had a lot of bourbon people.
Mm-hmm.
And had a lot of people with good jobs, you know, people with important jobs like mayors, and entrepreneurs, athletes, artists, musicians. Those are some of the favorites. The you know the people that are. Are creative.
Yeah.
Are sometimes
because they say whatever they want to say.
Yeah, they're not uptight. They don't have a PR campaign.
Hey, don't even go there.
Yeah, don't have some of you PR.
See,
people.
No, you know, here's the thing. Rick's always like, I don't like PR flack, and here I sit, and that's what I do for a living. And you like me?
I like you, but you tell your clients. Not to say everything that's on their mind, you tell them,
that's
you know,
right.
follow the script and don't.
No, we have developed key messages.
Yeah, talking points. Well,
but we don't want them to sound like a canned robot.
The really good guests don't sound like they're spewing out talking points.
The really good guests are definitely spewing out talking points, and they're so good that you don't know it.
Well, that may be true, but... you know, I don't think so.
So did the mayor give you canned answers in this interview today?
Well, I mean, he gets interviewed every day. He's not going to give me something that is totally
off
unusual.
The cuff.
So you try to, like, come up with unusual questions sometimes. But it was pretty straight up. I think people – I always think about the audience and think, what would they be interested in? And it's usually the same thing I'm interested in is – you know, all those scary things we heard a few months ago about the tax cut, are mm-hmm. they, is that real or was mm-hmm. that, or were you just trying to scare us into raising taxes?
Yeah.
And I think we're going to see some changes and it's not going to be good.
Okay.
So, yeah, you should listen for that. Of course, that's already been in the show, so. No, that's coming up in the show.
Yeah, that's
what I gotta remember.
I was leading you to the water.
You were leading me.
And I'm like, are you going to drink?
Well, maybe I'm giving my brain a little break this week since such a special show. I didn't have to like pay close attention to the news to think of something to talk about.
Yeah. Well, after the interview, would love to give you just a snippet of what I just witnessed, by the way.
Oh, good.
'Cause you know I just got off a plane as usual,
right.
And I'm here, and I was boots on the ground in Panama City. Post Hurricane Michael, you know, that hit about, well, it was October, this past mm-hmm. October, it's Category 4,
right.
And 155 mile per hour winds. And that city, Panama City, still looked like a war had just, yeah, I mean, it was still, it was still crippled. And so it was unbelievable. And I was just going to give you a little snapshot of what I saw down there. It was crazy.
You got 60-second snapshot before we get to the mayor?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest eye-opener to me was that they have received not a single penny of assistance. So, you know, we're looking at almost 6 months later, no FEMA money, no grant money. And so all these people, the tree debris, I mean, they're just hauling them away themselves. And 5,000 kids are homeless and don't have a bed to sleep in anymore. There were very few FEMA trailers, but there were some FEMA trailers for people. But, you know, there's this place, it's called Tent City, where everyone is living. I mean, like you and me. I mean, like just...
Yeah, regular people. Not just
everybody.
Homeless.
Yeah, and the schools were destroyed, the churches. I mean, I just could not believe, you know, almost 6 months after the fact, how bad it still was.
Yeah, well...
And that nobody cares.
Yeah, that's a shame. And it's a good lead-in to what we're talking about with the mayor, because it's about compassion. And it's important. And the news media is less attracted to stories that don't have conflict or anguish or people yelling at each other. But here in Louisville, we are a leader in the country, in the world, among cities, for having compassion. And, and hopefully never have a devastating thing like that here. But
yeah.
You know, the number I took away from it is the first year that the mayor did the Give a Day for Compassion was, he said he had, it was 8,000 volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
And last year he had 205,000.
Wow.
So it's really grown. Really a lot of people get involved.
Love
and,
it.
It's a big thing. This is coming up. So
Louisville's so awesome, man.
Yeah. We gotta come up with things to do on Give a Day. The mayor has a lot of suggestions in this interview. So think about it. He mentions a website you can go to talk about the Give a Day thing or to learn about the Give a Day thing. So it's a really good thing, and it's you know, we're all excited because it's spring and
and the sun is out today.
It's all good. So anyway, let's give a listen. My interview with Mayor Greg Fisher. And here we are, Rusty Satellite Show. It seems like every 100 shows is back here at the mayor's office with Mayor Greg Fisher. How are you?
Thank you, Rick. I'm flattered. Appreciate you.
Well, glad to be back here and talking to you. I want a couple of subjects I want to talk to you about. But first of all, this Give a Day thing that's coming up is, you know, it's a really big deal. It's sort of overlooked. I guess in the news media, it's all good news, so people don't pay attention to it, right?
Well, for us, I think it's one of the signature events we've been able to create over the 8 years or so we've been doing this now, just a basic around this basic notion of people helping each other. So, you know, I started talking about the city value of compassion on the very first day that I was elected, and people looked at me a little strange and said, no, we want to be a city where people are looking out for each other and helping mm-hmm. each other. And, you know, that along with health and lifelong learning are our three values. So we started that first week, and this really, my mom, I dedicated the first day to my mom. We had 80 volunteers. My mom, wow. like most of our moms, taught us about compassion and treating right. people. And that's grown now, too. It's a full week. Last year, we had 205,000 volunteers in acts of compassion.
Wow. So from 80 to 205,000.
Yeah.
Wow.
So think about that. It's about a quarter of our city. And I joke here, but I'm somewhat serious. I say our goal should be 780,000 because that's how many citizens we have in Louisville.
Okay.
Everybody during that week should be able to do something to help somebody.
Okay. So it's on. So it's a whole week. So what do you do during that week?
Oh, it's one of the great weeks for me. So we start with a project called Build a Bed, which is building beds for JCPS students that don't have their own beds to sleep in. And that's 200 beds that come out. That's a massive community project with teams coming together to build these beds. And so then I'll start there Saturday morning, and I'll go visit probably another dozen or so projects throughout the day.
Okay.
This is one of my funnest weeks of the year because imagine that if what you're doing during the day is you're going to 12 different events where people are just helping other people.
Yeah.
And, you know, you talk to them, why are you here? How did you get to know about this? And the people are excited. They're like, well, I never knew how to help somebody, and I went to the website, and here I am, and this is great. And look at the people that I've met, and I'm going to help this organization. So that's good. The We Day comes on Tuesday. We Day is a student-focused day, and that actually is a year-long process. And these are for kids that are doing service work all year long. So it's a big conference they hold. And then there's a We Day March that we have downtown where they invite business people to come and walk with them for service and walk with them for compassion. And then I'm excited we got a new event this year on Wednesday with the Red Cross. So okay. we're going to try to have a community blood drive so everybody can help out.
Hey, you hit on something I can do.
There you go, brother. Wednesday, I'll see you right there.
I think everybody can
do something. You know, if it's an hour you got or some people participate every day, you can go to mygiveaday.com and they'll say, hey, I'm available Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. Okay. Is there anything there?
Yeah, this
there
is kind of unique for a city to do something like this, right?
After every year, I proclaim we're the world's most compassionate city. Now, the first year, I was very concerned about that. So we called the Guinness Book of World Records, said, what's the world record for compassion? And they said, well, there is no world record, but for $15,000, we'll certify you guys. So I just decided to use the powers of proclamation I have as a mayor and say that, and we haven't been challenged yet.
Well, I've found in media, if you say it, you know, like, who's going to say this is not the most interesting podcast in the city?
Yeah, there you go.
You
want to claim it. And with this, we've got the numbers to back it. And interestingly, we've had almost 50 cities visit us now from around the world to benchmark what we do in the area of compassion. So it's really intriguing to folks that I think are looking for kind of that common human value and that common human bond to pull us together. That's when we feel the best, right? Not when we're being divided by, you know, political leaders or whomever they call themselves. It's about doing stuff together.
All right. Well, I'm glad you brought that up. not to joke about it, but the seriousness of what's going on in the city right now is big because a few weeks ago you talked about this pension crisis and we don't raise taxes, you know, it's the parks are going to close, the libraries are going to close, all these bad things are going to happen, and then the tax increase didn't happen, and now I guess we're all waiting till April 25th when we'll find out if our libraries are going to close and if our parks are going to close. So
right.
Are you right now in the process of making those decisions?
Yes, yes. We're spending hours each day to kind of make a bad situation as least bad as it can be. I mean, let's remember why this happened. The Kentucky Retirement System has put an additional $50 million obligation on the city of Louisville over the next several years, you know, for increased pension funding. And frankly, the pension that the city is involved with was not in any kind of crisis state. It was funded at a 63% level before some of these changes started taking place. But it's become a crisis for us because of this mandate coming down from the Kentucky retirement system. So that's what's leading to a $35 million shortfall largely here. This fiscal year budget starting July 1. So it'll be largely as we'd put out. I mean, you're going to see reductions in police, fire, EMS, community centers, libraries. People are going to go, what are we doing here?
And it's like,
well, I mean, we have to balance our budget. And 70% of our budget is labor. And so it takes labor to run on these various services. So that's where we're going to be seeing reductions. Unfortunately, I hope the council sees that and says, this is no way to run a city. You cannot build a great city on the cheap. And we're already efficient. Of our 19 peer cities, we're the fourth lowest in terms of our ratio of city employees to population. Okay. We're already fiscally responsible. We're in the top quartile of all municipalities. So we've got a good running, efficient organization. We can always do more. But when you can start cutting $35 million out of a budget and then $65 million out of the budget 3 years from now, people are going to see that.
Well, is that going to I mean, I'm most interested, not most interested, but I'm very interested in, like, I had the directors of the Northeast Library on a few weeks ago, and I know about the track and field complex in the West. We've got all these capital projects, and I saw the list. There's like dozens of them, capital intensive new projects. I mean, and I think you can tell me where that status is, because I know some of it has been delayed.
Yeah, or it's going to be gone.
Okay.
So for those projects that are, you know, underway and almost complete, we've got to figure out a way to complete them, right? So each one of the projects is being analyzed for where it's at in terms of the construction process, whether or not it's been started or not, whether or not money's been obligated to contractors, and those decisions will be made one by one. That'll be communicated with this process as well. And then the next question for this budget is, you know, do we do capital projects at all?
Mm-hmm.
Do we do a small amount? Do we do our normal amount? And, of course, you've got the capital where that hits the operating budget is in the interest expense that comes off paying those bonds. And those bonds are usually 5, 10, and 20-year type of bonds.
So, I'm thinking about, like, the long-term projects that I'm aware of, like the extension of Waterfront Park. I mean, I guess that's in jeopardy.
Right.
Okay.
And the question is, I think, Rick, because you've been around the community a long time, it's like, what kind of community do we want to be? You know, our city's got momentum. And when you look at the cities we compete with, for instance, Nashville's budget this year, they're putting $35 million into their roads, $30 million into their sidewalks, and $5 million into what they call bikeways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our total budget in that area, there's 70. Ours is $20 million. Okay. So when people say, well, we got to be more like Nashville, these cities are investing hundreds of millions of dollars more into their parks and streetscapes and transportation systems than we are every year, because they're investing for the future. And you don't invest for the future by going backwards. And that was the result of the Metro Council vote the other day.
Well, there's some harsh words exchanged. I saw the press conference the Metro Council members put on, and like they took turns taking shots at you. I remember specifically Brent Ackerson saying, I voted for a businessman mayor, and I'm waiting for that businessman to come. But
yeah, and when they say that, they should say, wow, we're the fourth lowest of our 19 peer cities. We're in the top quartile of fiscal responsibility. That's really strong. And if you have a business and you have a 14% increase in your costs, that's what the pensions increase is.
Right.
Businesses trim a little, and then they raise their prices. And if you don't do that, you go out of business.
Okay.
So raising prices is akin to this small tax increase. That's what a businessman does.
Yes, yeah. Well, another thing that I hear in wise business circles, I guess, is you also sell stuff. I know there's this parking garage proposal around, like selling the Belle of Louisville around. I mean, are there ways to attack the revenue side that you're working on?
Yeah, well, there's a bunch of, you know, you do that through fees, et cetera. Privatization of parking has been tried in other cities, and what happens is you know, a hedge fund or a venture capital fund will come. They buy those assets from the city, and then they just start raising the prices. So it's a different type of a tax, if you will.
Okay.
So you get a slug of money up front, and then like Chicago has done that now, and so to park on the street is, I don't know what the number is, $5, $7 an hour, these type of things. So then the city goes crazy after that. So there's no easy way to do this. You know, these are public assets that we have, and so they're being operated in a way that has the least cost to the citizens. So you can sell, you can privatize them, get a little cash up front, and then you pay for it down the road. I don't think that's the way to go.
Okay.
These are operating problems that
sure,
we have.
Sure. I mean, I guess when you go back to the original problem, you said this thing came down from Frankfurt, and it seems like you can educate me, because it seems like it's a result of part of Frankfurt's attack on Louisville. I asked Chief Conrad yesterday, the attack on Louisville, the war on Louisville is a real thing. But is this this crisis we're having with the pension, I guess it affects all cities?
Yeah, so the system we're in is called CERS, County Employee Retirement System. So this affects every city and every county in the Commonwealth. This is not specifically toward Louisville. Now, they could have not changed the assumptions they changed in our pension system. They could have allowed for more years for any kind of gap to be paid out instead of 5 years. 10 years would have made it a lot easier. There are cities and counties in eastern Kentucky, Rick, they're going to be going bankrupt next year because they don't have funds to pay for this.
Right.
Then they'll be interesting to see what the state does on that. So, but again, our system was funded at a 63% level, which compared to some of the Kentucky employee retirement systems funded at 12%. That's a legitimate crisis when you're funded at 12%,
yeah.
Not at 63%. You can take more time to deal with something like that.
Okay. Okay, so run me through the process real quickly, because we've got to wrap up here. April 25th is the deadline for you.
Yeah, so statutorily I need to present the budget and to the council 60 days before they need to approve it, because the fiscal year starts July 1st. So they have handled me a budget that it's not my budget. It's going to be budget with their cuts in it.
Okay.
I'm going to be recommending it, but they have forced this budget that when people hear about the changes in it, that's a manifestation of what the council feel is best. They then will begin a 60-day process of review and come to some kind of consensus amongst themselves on where they feel like the cuts should take place if they don't agree with our recommendations.
So if nothing changes, then come June or so, July 1st, we'll be seeing parks closed, whatever.
Yeah, and then we're already canceling some leases and things like that now, where we've got a 90-day requirement to get ahead of, or we've suspended a police recruit class, for instance, because we would be bringing them on as employees in June, not knowing whether or not they're going to have a job when it comes July 1st. So you're starting to see some of the stuff, because we've got to have a run rate starting July 1st that helps us meet the $35 million total for the entire year.
Okay. All right, well... got to wrap it up here. Let's end on a positive note. Give a Day is coming up next week, April 13th.
Yeah, April 13th to 20th, mygiveaday.com. So while we work through all the budget stuff, we'll do that. I mean, in many ways, this challenge, I hope, is our finest hour of a community coming together to say, here's how we're going to solve this, or people saying, look, we need more revenue, whatever it might be. But there is no reason why everybody can't help during Give a Day.
Okay.
You know, we're just asking for people to help each other.
Right.
I think gives most people a lot of joy, so we've just tried to organize that in the city into something now that's become known around the world as a good emblematic symbol of Louisville's value for compassion and helping each other.
All right. Well, very good. Well, we'll promote it on the Rusty Satellite Show. I guess I'll be back in a couple of years.
Well, I want to congratulate you, man. I mean, you've done a great job over the years of covering issues in the community, and you've stuck with it, and you know our community probably as good as anybody in Louisville. So congratulations to you.
All right. Thank you, Mayor.
The 300th episode of Rusty Satellite Show is coming to a close, so we always do final thoughts with Rick.
Oh, yeah. It's always a lot of fun. Carolyn, but you know, you and I teamed up on that other podcast, Eat, mm-hmm. Drink, Talk, and all that, but you certainly have some impressions of Rusty Satellite.
Well, first of all, had I not listened to the Rusty Satellite Show and enjoyed the Rusty Satellite Show, I wouldn't have agreed to have co-hosted Eat, Drink, Talk with you.
Because
it's not like we had like really a prior relationship. before that.
You were on, though. Do you remember your first time on?
I do remember the first time I was on. You were in a different studio on Frankfurt. It was a hot summer day. And I remember grabbing a bottle of cold white wine and walking in the studio and pouring us a glass. And I said, let's have a good time.
I think that was a milestone show, too, because I remember the picture with you in the Rusty Satellite Show shirt.
Yeah, that was the 100th show.
100th show or 100th guest?
I don't know. I just remember it was 100.
Yeah.
And I do. And I remember you gave me the T-shirt, and I'm like, I'm putting it on. And it was huge, and I, like, tied it up on the side like Daisy Duke.
Is Locke tired of seeing you wear that to bed every night?
I don't even know where it is. I have to find it. I have so many T-shirts.
I understand. So. I think Paul Thorne has lost his as well.
Really?
And I gave him.
Well, you have new shirts now, so I'll have to snag a new one. No,
that's
but
right.
I think what over the years, Rick, what's made I think your show successful, not only the stellar lineup of the guests that have been on, but it's your brutal honesty. That's why people listen. I mean, you are passionate about everything that comes out of your mouth, even if it goes against the grain of the guest or the community. I mean, you speak from the heart, and people listen because you're honest. So that's why I listened, many moons ago. That's why I still listen.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Everything you say reminds me of something, but just this week, last week on the news segment, this may have slipped your radar, but our Kentucky legislature authored a bill, and it was signed by the government, that outlawed sex between human and animals.
Oh, finally.
Yeah, finally.
Bestiality.
That was pretty, brutally honest about what I thought of our lawmakers using their time for that.
Yeah.
And I got some reaction to it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You'll come up with some zingers. Not afraid to go there.
They deserve to be criticized in certain cases. So anyway, that's what the show's all about. It's been a blast, almost 6 years. It's great to get to a milestone like this. I want to once again thank Passport Health Plan for being with me the whole way. My friends at Heiser Health and Eye Care Institute have been very supportive the whole time, and there's a lot of people who've helped me, including you, in terms of finding guests or getting the show done and making it happen. Dan Vonderheide, who got it all started.
Yeah.
Reminds me of my favorite, one of my favorite songs. It goes, it takes a whole lot of help to make it on your own.
Yeah.
And, I really believe that.
Yeah.
It takes a whole lot of help, a whole lot of people. I do want to mention Caroline Knopp, who probably leads the league in getting guests for the show. And but a lot of the people in your business around town who are aware of the show and pitch me ideas and bring me people and all that. So because I ran out of people I knew at about show 20.
Oh, so then you were like cold calling people that are going, who are you?
The good news is, people, even busy, well-known people, usually say yes.
Yeah.
If you ask them to be on your podcast.
Right.
So it's a good thing.
Yep.
I can't remember many times that people have said no, and that's what makes it fun.
Keep on doing it. Keep on keeping on. That's what we say in my house.
All right. Well, Carolyn, certainly thanks for coming in for this.
You're welcome.
It's been a blast seeing you again, and we'll have to go out and try a new restaurant or something.
Yeah. Where did I say? Oh, I know what I did. I invited you out to Old Stone Inn and the Barn.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to put that on your radar. That we are going to go see my horse, and then go have a cocktail and some appies at Old Stone Inn, because you haven't dined there yet.
I haven't. Yeah. Well, I did before David Danielson took over. But
right.
Yeah.
Totally different menu. You got to come back in.
All right. Well, it has been a pure joy. Thank you for all you people out there listening. If you've listened to one show or 299 of them, I'm glad to hear from you. You have a suggestion for the show or anything else. We have a website, rustysatelliteshow.com. We're on iTunes. Please subscribe. We have Twitter and Facebook. And probably the best way to get a hold of me is through Facebook, or Rick Redding on Facebook.
All right. There you go. The most interesting people in the Ville. Thanks for having me on, Rick.
All right, until we do this again next week. This is Rick Redding with Carolyn McClain for the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. Rick will be back in the Louisville.am studio with two more of the most interesting people in the Ville next week. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. To suggest a future guest or inquire about doing your own podcast, get in touch with Rick through Facebook or Twitter, or send an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. To see the full list of guests who have appeared on the show since 2013, go to rustysatelliteshow.com.